Hey, What Not the Podcast. Pastor Wolfmuller here. This is the audio from Sunday Drive Home yesterday, reflecting on this parable from Mark chapter 4, where Jesus says the seed grows while the farmer sleeps and wakes up and he doesn't know how. And how that ignorance of the farmer is good. It's a good thing to not know how the church grows. In fact, Jesus tells us that we shouldn't know how the kingdom comes. We just rejoice in the seed of the word. So here's the June the 13th Sunday drive home.
Hey, hey, YouTube theologians. It's Sunday drive home. Oh, I almost forgot. Sorry. Okay, where were we? Genesis chapter 3. We talk about Genesis chapter 3 a lot. And we should talk about the whole of Genesis chapter 3. But we had Genesis chapter 3 this morning, where the dragon comes to Adam and Eve mostly, and gives Eve this fruit, and she gives it to Adam, and they eat, and they recognize that they are naked. Somewhere, and I thought I read this in Luther, but I think it's a common theme in the ancient fathers. Someone can look it up and give me references. That would be great. Oh, speaking of looking things up, I got an email from Jeff Schwartz. You can pronounce it with a T, even though there's no T in there, who said, hey, Pastor Wolfmuller, could you promote the Issues Etc. conference? Because we got a bunch more seats open this summer, this July 25th or something, 24th. And you know how you're going to be there, and Molly Hemingway, and Mark Hemingway, and Larry Rast, and also Jack Phillips and everyone. Robert George is going to be there? Man. And he said, could you promote it on your social medias? And I don't have any social medias except for the YouTubes. So you guys got to pull all the weight for Facebook and Twitter and everything. Go to the Issues Etc. conference. If you use promo code Wolfmuller, they'll give you 10% off. I just made that up. But you should try it and see what happens. They might actually charge you 10% more. I don't know if they have promo codes. You try it and see what happens. Anyhow... okay, I fulfilled my obligations. The Genesis chapter 3, the dragon gives Adam and Eve this fruit that's forbidden, and they recognize that they're naked, and the church fathers said that the reason they recognized their nakedness was because before this, Adam and Eve would have radiated with light like Jesus at the Transfiguration. And then when they ate the fruit, the light dimmed, and they weren't clothed with light anymore. Now, I was looking for that in Luther, and I couldn't find it, but it's in my memory somewhere. I don't think I made it up, although you never know, so let's see if we can track that down. I think it's kind of cool. Now, that's just a guess, but the point is that Adam and Eve recognize they're naked, and they go to make the fig leaves, which are the image of every workspace religion, you know, cover your shame by your own efforts. And it just doesn't work. But it looks like it works if, as long as God's not around, you can get away with it. So as long as there's no sound of the Lord in the garden, Adam and Eve there and their fig leaves are like, hey, looking pretty good. Which reminds me of the only joke I wrote. You remember? I've probably told it a million times. I'm like an old man. I only know one joke. Because this is the only joke. Okay, but here it is. Maybe it's funny still, even if you've heard it a million times. Eve comes out from around the fig bush, and she's wearing her fig clothes, and she says to Adam, what do you think? These are my fall colors. Ba-dum-bum. Oh, yeah, think about it. The more you think about it, the funnier it gets. Now, this is the point. I told that joke in the sermon today. I don't think you should tell that joke in the sermon. But the point of this is that Adam and Eve think that they've managed to cover their own guilt and shame with fig leaves. Until they hear the sound of the Lord in the cool of the day. Now, here's how that verse should have read. And Adam and Eve heard the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they ran to meet him, and they fell down at his feet and worshiped him, and they extolled him for all the gifts that he had given them, and he gave them even more gifts. And they said, "Oh Lord, your presence is blessedness forevermore." And the Lord says, "Behold the children that the Lord that I've made," and there should have been this great delight in God and Adam and Eve in the garden. But the opposite happens. They hear the sound of the Lord, and they turn and they run. And they're there in the bushes with the dragon and the fig leaves, holding their breath, hoping that the Lord won't hear the sound of their beating hearts because they're terrified of the presence of the Lord, and rightly so, because they're sinners. And for sinners, the presence of God is frightful. But the Lord tracks them down, and he cuts the legs off the serpent with his word, which means they never get legs ever. And then he gives that first promise. It's one of the first YouTube videos I made about unraveling Genesis 3:15. And every, like once a week, I get people busting my chops trolling that video. It's wild. The Lord says to the devil, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman," which is an amazing thing. Because if you just were to pause the scene right there with Adam and Eve and the dragon in the bushes, and you say to Adam, "You got any friends?" He says, "Eve's not my friend. God's not my friend. The creation's not my friend. The only friend I got in the world is this dragon." Same with Eve. Enmity everywhere but here. And the Lord says, "No, enmity here." The Lord takes the enmity that was between God and man, God and humanity, the enmity that was between Adam and Eve, and he says, "Not here. I'm putting it here. Enmity between you, devil, and the woman. Your seed, sin and death, and her seed, the Messiah. He'll crush your head, you'll crush his heel." It's the picture of a barefooted man stomping the head of a poisonous snake. Whap! And that promise is expanded. I mean, that promise, that proto-evangelion, that's like finding the headwaters, the spring from which all the prophetic verses of the Old Testament flow. I think I can say with a pretty strong certainty that that is the most important verse in the Old Testament, Genesis 3:15, first gospel. Because it was going to be that on the day that Adam and Eve ate from the fruit, they would surely die, a double death, spiritual and physical death. But now the Lord says, "Okay, also on the day you eat of it, I'm going to die too. I'm going to share in your death. I'm going to share in your sin. I'm going to share in your suffering. I'm going to share in your fall so that you can share in my life." Stunning. I'm going to be devoured by this dragon so that you will not be. And then the Lord comes along and he gives Adam and Eve new clothes. We've talked about this. about how the Lord takes, now this is the first thing that dies, another animal. The Lord takes some innocent animal and cuts it open and the bowels fall out and he skins it and he wraps the warm, bloody skin, this hide around Adam and Eve to cover their shame. Is this what it's going to take to cover our sin? And the Lord says, not just, it's just the beginning of what it's going to, it's going to take so much more, the death of the Son of God. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can put on Christ and be covered for all our shame. Now that is really something. And Jesus does this, head of the serpent crushing business, on the cross. I mean, it starts in his baptism and in his temptation for 40 days when he overcomes the temptation of the devil and says that, hey, devil, you can't get me, but I can get you. And then on the cross, the favorite verse, I wonder if I quote this verse in every third video on here, Hebrews 2:14, that he partook of flesh and blood, just like us, so that through his death, he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and set all those who their whole lifetime were in slavery to the fear of death, he would set them free. Set you free. You are free from the fear of death because the devil's dead. Look, the devil wants to, I'm very strong, I'm the devil, I can guard my palace and my goods are at peace until the stronger one comes, and the stronger one has come and he's bound the devil and looted his palace. Pastor Mitwood, he said this today, he says, you know, you can't plunder somebody's house unless you've completely subdued the owner of the house. This is not like a cat burglar where you're sneaking around. Jesus does not come in and like try to grab the change out of your car that you left unlocked overnight. Jesus plunders. He doesn't... Which means that the owner of the house is completely subdued. He's hogtied in the closet. That's what Jesus... That's the parable we had today in Mark chapter 3, which is not, I had to remind the people, it was not instructions on how to be a cat burglar when Jesus, in Mark chapter 3, verse 27, tells this one little verse parable of the strong man guarding his house, his goods are at peace, until one binds the strong man, then he can plunder his goods. That's telling not how to, but what Jesus has done. He is the stronger one who's bound the strong man, the devil, and now he's plundering the house, which is the world, and you are that plunder. Paul says it in a kind of more sanctified way. I mean, you can't get more sanctified than what Jesus says, but it's kind of funny that he's using the picture of a guy robbing another man's house as a picture of the gospel. Paul takes it into this prison metaphor and says he's transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light in his Son. So that Jesus has come and rescued us. Can we think of this birth of Jesus, life of Jesus, ministry of Jesus, death of Jesus, resurrection of Jesus as a rescue mission? Yes, yes. And we? And you, dear Christian? You are the rescued. He's transferred you into his kingdom of light. Jesus has done it. And the devil cannot undo it. God be praised for that. Sunday Drive.